Good morning, everyone. It is still good morning, isn't it? We've still got another 10 minutes before it's 12 o'clock. How many of you have had more than two Easter eggs this morning?
18.
I spotted Rochelle eating one just a couple of minutes ago. So how many of you had, Rochelle? Three or four? Have you had a big one like this?
No.
You haven't had a big one?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well. If you're a good girl today, we might be able to see. Do you think Pastor Rochelle should get the big one?
Yes.
No, we'll just. I said no. But the reason we're here today is we've come to celebrate that Jesus is alive.
Amen.
You know, Jesus died on the cross, and we heard that on Good Friday. But then it's Sundays are coming. Sundays are coming. That was a great message on Friday, wasn't it? Those who watched it, we actually watched it online, but it was a great message. But Sunday is not coming, Sunday is here.
Yes.
Jesus is alive today.
Hallelujah.
And he's alive and he wants to do good in your life today. He loves you so much. So today what we're going to do is talk about the letters in the word Easter. Who can spell Easter? Okay, what I need is the kids to... Karina, can you spell Easter? What's the first letter?
E.
Come up here then. Come up here. Karina, she can hold that one. Who can tell me what the next letter is, Susan?
A.
A. You can hold that one up. Who can tell me what the next one? Ollie? It's a S. Oh, well done. Well done. Next one, Shana.
T.
T. Carla, what's the next one? Can you remember? Who can... E. Well done. And the last one, Daro, do you know what the last one is? That's right. Yeah, the R. And that spells the word Easter. And every year we have Easter, and what we're doing is celebrating not only the death of Jesus, but the resurrection of Jesus. Now, Jesus is alive today, isn't he? And, you know, as we think about what he's done for us, and what we're going to do today is we're going to look at each letter of this, and we're going to get the kids to help us, and we're trying to bring in the Easter message with it just so we can get a little bit clearer about what Easter is all about. We can collect those up, Mrs. Mills, and everyone can sit down now. So the first letter is a letter. What's the first letter?
E.
The first letter E. And well, I'm going to put up a word, and the letters are all mixed up. See there? And what you've got to do is you've got to try and work out what that word is. What's that word? Anybody can guess what that word is. Not you, Sam, because you were here first service. Ollie was here first. Anyone remember? Reckon they can work that out? Those who were here first service and all out, yep. Eternal. Well done. Eternal. Okay. So, eternal. This is on. No, it's not on. That's why it's not working. Okay, eternal. Eternal. Could you give her a chocolate? Yeah. If you get the, you mums and dads, if you're sitting up really straight, I'm watching and you might get a chocolate, okay? They're only little, but if you're really good, we might even give you two. And at the end of the service, if they're all really good, they might even have three. Will we give them three?
18.
18? Wow. 18. Who would like 18 chocolates? So, eternal. And we're going to have one of the kids come up and read our scripture for us. So, Shana, could you come up here, please? We're going to need the microphone, Pastor Dave. And Shana, here we go. Turn around.
For the, John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life.
Thank you, Shana. We're going to just put that there. Mrs. Mills, maybe you could hold that one, and you could hold that one too. So this is a wonderful passage of Scripture, John chapter 3, verse 16. And I think it's probably the most famous Scripture in the Bible. Probably more people know this than any other verse. And in fact, I became a Christian when I was 24 on this one verse. That's all I knew. If you would have said to me, I'll give you $1 million, tell me a verse in the Bible, I didn't know any verses at all. But when he read, the friend who led me to the Lord, read this scripture out, for God so loved Ivan. See, this is all about you. It's all about God's great love for you. And he loves you so much that he doesn't want you to perish, but he wants you to spend eternity with him, which is eternal, goes on and on and on and on. Can we measure eternity?
Yes.
We can? Okay, I've got a tape measure over here. Okay, so Ollie reckons we can measure eternity. Okay, come up here, Ollie. All right. So this tape measure, and it's a 10-metre tape measure, so that's quite a good distance, isn't it? But we're going to imagine that every 10 centimetres represents 100 years. Okay? So every metre, how many years would that be?
1,004?
Just 1,000. You got it right, 1,000. Just 4 was with interest, wasn't it? Okay. Okay. So a 1 metre, where's 1 metre, Ollie? There. 1 metre represents 1,000 years. So that's a long time, isn't it? So if we were to try and work out how long eternity would go on for, Susan, would you like to take that over there? Go, keep going that way, and you go that way, you go that way, go that way. Okay, so let's just hold it here. So 10 centimetres represents our life. Some of us might live to 100. How many of you want to live to 100? I don't want to live to 100. No. I'll be happy if I can make 70. I'd be really good for it. Jane keeps on saying to me, you've got to go. Her family, they all get to close to 100. Yeah, I don't want to go that long. Okay, but just imagine 10 centimetres represents 100 years. So 100 years with that is not a long time, is it? But if you go out a little bit further, Susan, that way, keep on going. Now, we're getting a long way, aren't we? But could you imagine if this tape measure went all the way into Perth? Could you imagine how long that would be? What's about 20 kilometres from here to Perth? 16 kilometres from here to Perth. So 16 kilometres, Dave, how many years would that be?
A lot.
A lot. Okay, good. We got a lot. Everyone agree? A lot. A lot. But you could imagine if it went all the way to Sydney, 4,000 kilometres. Would that be a lot? That would be a lot, a lot. Lots. Really lots. Okay. But could you imagine if that tape measure went around the earth 1 million times? And you were trying to work out how many years that would be if that was 100 years every 10 centimetres. My mind boggles. But could you imagine if you got right to the end, then all of a sudden they said, we're going to start again? Because eternity doesn't start, it doesn't finish. It keeps on going, going, going and going. So God loves you so much, he wants to spend eternity with you.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, very good.
We might look at ourselves and we think, well, we're not very special. Nobody really likes me that much. Maybe your mum. Your mum always loves you, doesn't she?
Yeah.
But maybe you've messed up a little bit. But you know, no matter what you've done, God loves you. And he wants you to be in eternity with him forever and ever and ever. We can bring that up in again. Let's give him a big clap. Well done. Look at that. That's a pretty good tape measure, isn't it? That's a really good tape measure. So what's the next letter? So the first letter is E, and that represents eternal life. Eternal life, okay? I'm going to see if you can remember these later on, okay? So you've got to be switched on, you mums and dads. If you want a chocolate, you're watching them over here? Okay, all right, good. All right, the next letter, what's the next letter?
T.
T. No, not eternal. Easter is...
A,
all right, A. What do you think that word would be? This is a real hard one. Who thinks they can work this one out? Not you, you here first service. All. A chocolate up the back there. All. So the Bible tells us, we've got a scripture here, that who's going to read this out, Mrs. Mills? Dara, could you come up and read this one up, please? Come over here. These kids are really smart. I'm glad you parents invest in their education because they're really, really smart. Okay.
Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Let's read that. Let's all read it together. I think it's all up there. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So the Bible says all of us have sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glory or God's standards. You know, God has rules. He has rules. And all of us have broken God's rules. All of us, the Bible says, are sin. And all means all. Even from the time you're very little, the Bible actually says in sin, we were born in sin. So right from our early stages, we've all sinned, haven't we? Is there anyone here that's never sinned? Ollie, did you put your hand up? No, not really. Because we've got a hand up the back there again. I tell you what, we need to pray for this guy on the sound desk, Pastor Dave. All of us have sinned. All of us have done wrong, from telling a little lie to disobeying our parents to stealing something. I want to tell you a story. When I was a little boy, I went to a camp. And over here, I've got... And do you want to see what's underneath all that? Ollie knows what's here, but I've got some special things under here. And I've got a torch, and I've got one Tim Tam. Who likes Tim Tams? So I've got a torch here. Now, when I was a little boy, just 8 years old, I went to a church camp. It might have been at Easter time, because we used to have church camps at Easter time. So that was a long time ago if I was 8 years old. You'd have to go right to eternity to work it out what that would be. So I was 8 years old, and I lived in an area called Glebe, which was a pretty rough area. And us Glebe kids were pretty bad kids. When I say bad, we used to get ourselves in lots and lots of trouble. But they thought that if you mixed the bad kids with the good kids, well, the bad kids would become good. Did it work? No. But we went to this camp with these kids from Springwood, and Springwood were the good kids. Really nice kids. And when we went to the camp, all the Springwood kids had torches. But all the Glebe kids didn't. So it wasn't fair, really. We should have really stopped those Springwood kids from having torches, because it wasn't fair. But anyway, we spotted these torches the first night, and my friend, his name was Tony Pinchum. And Tony Pinchum, he was the best thief I've ever seen. He was Pinchum by name, Pinchum by nature. I mean, he would go into Grace Brothers in Sydney and come out with all these football jerseys on. I mean, he could steal anything. Anyway, Tony decided he was going to steal the torches from the Springwood kids. So he stole these torches, about a dozen of them, maybe 10, a dozen of them. And then the next day, we had to work out how we're going to disguise these torches. So I decided that what we needed to do was to paint them. So we got some oil-based paint. Okay, so I painted all these torches. They were bigger ones, big chunky ones back in those days. Big chunky ones. And I painted them all with oil-based paint. But being an eight-year-old, you don't realise that oil-based paint takes a long time to dry, doesn't it? Have you ever tried to pick up something that's been painted with oil-based paint? You get it everywhere. Well, sure enough, we had it everywhere. So I put it in newspaper, which is a real no-no, and put them in my bag. Well, later on that day, when the leaders found out about it, that somebody had stolen these torches, they decided what they would do is they would go and search the bags. Oh, no. And we didn't know this because we were out doing activities, but all of a sudden they grabbed me, and they grabbed Tony Pinchum as well, because they knew Tony, and all the other Glebe kids, and they said, okay, we found these torches. Who stole them? And so we're all looking at each other. I can remember I was feeling really bad. You know, when you've done something bad, you know it, don't you? Yeah. We all have a conscience. You know, even when you just steal 5 cents, you feel bad about it. So I was feeling really bad. Anyway, they worked it all out. Everybody dobbed on each other. And they decided there was going to be punishment. You know, with sin, there is punishment. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's separated from God, being separated from ever. That's why Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish." See, God doesn't want anybody to go to hell, but to receive eternal life. But there's a punishment for our sin. And if God said, "It's okay for you to go to heaven, but it's not okay for you, you've done too many bad things, but it's okay for you to go to heaven," that wouldn't be fair, would it? So God says there's a punishment for sin. So they decided that they had to punish us. So back in those days, it would have been really easy just to give them a cane, because you were allowed to do that then. Or a good kick in the backside, because you were allowed to do that back then as well. But they decided, being good Christians, they would make us pay for this. So they sent us home from the camp, which was really, really hard. And you know what? My dad was sitting at home, and I was out in the car, and they went and told him what had happened. And they brought me in from the car, and I mean, when I was in trouble, my dad used to take off his belt. You know, that was the way to do it back in those days. You take your belt off and you... So I knew I was in big trouble, because the punishment for sin is death. But if you've sinned, you're going to get caught and you get punished. And that's what happened. And they took me in. Now, I'm not going to tell you what happened, but my dad was really, really not happy from what happened to what I did. But no matter, all of us, even though we've done wrong things, God still loves us. Yeah. No matter the worst thing you could possibly do, God still loves you. He doesn't like the sin, but he still loves you. Yeah. And he wants to forgive you. Yeah. He wants you to spend eternity with him because he loves you so much. But that sin has to be forgiven. And there's only one way. So what's the next letter? What's the next letter, Mrs. Mills? Anyone know the next letter? We've gone...
S.
What? Who's going to read out this scripture, Mrs. Mills? Well, right there, before we do, we need to have the word, don't we?
Escape.
Oh, what happened? Oh, look. You got to get the finger right in the right spot. If you don't get the... So who's going to read the scripture? Shana. Shana's really good at reading. Can we have the microphone to Mrs. Mills? Shana.
Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost.
So the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost. Now, Jesus is looking for those who are lost. That's why he came, to find those who are lost, and so he could save them. So the Bible says that he came to seek and to save those who are lost. But you know, some people are lost, they don't know they're lost. Some people do wrong things and you just grow up with it and you just think that's the way it is. Everybody else does these wrong things. That's what happened with me. Even though I went to church, nobody ever told me that I needed to get saved. Nobody ever told me there was a better way of living. But you know, Jesus, even though I'd done those wrong things, was looking for me. Was looking for me, and he was fine. And I look back at my life, and maybe you can look back and see how there's ways that Jesus was reaching out to you, trying to bring you to him. He wants to save you from that sin that so easily just ties us up, doesn't it? So he's looking. He wants to save you. Now over here, I've got a rope. Wow. What do you reckon, Ollie? This is a good rope, isn't it? This is a kid's skipping rope, by the way. So if you come into kids' church and you want to have a skip, you can. All right?
Or you can
do jump. All right. Now, a rope, if you were in big trouble, say, Ollie, you were hanging off a cliff and you slipped down a cliff and you're hanging there and you're holding onto a branch. And you know that you can't climb back up. And if you fall, what's going to happen? You're in big trouble, aren't you? You're in big trouble. But if somebody come along and threw a rope over and said, "Take hold of the rope," what would you do? Would you say, "Oh, no, that's okay, I'll just stay here for another couple of days"? maybe I might just be able to get out of this myself. That's what many people do. Jesus is reaching out to them. He came to seek and save those who are lost, and he's reaching out and he's saying, I want to save you. I want to forgive you. I want to give you a good life. I want to help you. And he's thrown the rope, and all you've got to do is take hold of the end of it. And as you take hold of the end of that rope, what happens is he will bring you close to himself and he can save you. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus wants to do that for you because he loves you so much. So he came to seek and save that which was lost, each one of us. What's the next letter? I've got to be careful with the button this time. Next letter?
T.
T. Do I do it right? Yeah, good. Runt. How many of you here are runts? Mrs. Mills put all this together and she was trying to give words that's going to put you off the track. Okay, I think she's done it pretty well, pretty well. Who can tell me what this one is? Turn. Well done. And Mrs. Mills, who's going to read out this scripture? Susan's going to read it out. She's really good at reading, isn't she? Okay, Susan.
Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away.
Read that again, Susan. You did such a good job of that.
Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away.
Excellent. So we can repent of your sins. To repent of something means to change your thinking around. Maybe you were thinking one thing, then all of a sudden, now you think, well, that's wrong, I don't want that. So you've got to change your thinking. Before I was a believer, I used to think it was okay to steal. Especially if you're stealing from your boss. Because they always had more money than what you had. So you could steal little things. You didn't steal big things, and you never stole from your friends. That was a written law. That law's not there anymore, I don't think. But it used to be the written law when I was a kid and when I was growing up as a young man. You could steal from your boss, and I used to take drill bits and spanners and things like that, and that was okay. You thought it was okay. But when I became a believer, I had to repent of my thinking. I had to say, no, that is wrong thinking. I don't want to go that way. I don't want to do those things anymore. And maybe some of you today are still doing things that are wrong and you need to repent and turn away from those things and say, no, that's not me anymore. That's not the way I'm going anymore. So I had to find out how to think properly. So I got into the Bible. And as I read the Bible started to change the way I was thinking. You know, the more you read God's word, the more you'll change and become more like Jesus. And that's why it's so important that every day you get into the Bible. Even if it's one verse, you read it every day. So I had to turn from my sins. And when we turn from our sins, the Bible says, so that your sin can be wiped away. Wiped away. You know, God wants to wipe away our sins. Maybe you think, well, I've done too many wrong things. All of us have done wrong things. But you know, no matter what you've done, the blood of Jesus can cleanse us from every sin. Yes. No matter how bad it is, no matter how small it is, Jesus, when he shed his blood on that cross, on that Good Friday so many years ago, he was dying there for you, to take your place so you could be forgiven. The next one, Mrs. Mills. Next one. It's... Who can tell me what word this is? This is a hard one, isn't it? Did somebody say it? Who said?
No.
Starts with E. Escape. Okay, who's going to read this out? Sam, come and read this out. Sam is really smart, you know. Come on, Sam, read it out.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it.
Thank you, Sam. So escape is a word, and that's the scripture. And the thing I want you to look at here is God is faithful. You know, he knows that we're all tempted. How many of you get tempted to do things that are wrong? So, only one hand up the back there. The guy who never sins, he's tempted all the time. But he never sins. Well done. How many of you are tempted to do wrong? I think we're all tempted, aren't we? The devil knows how to tempt us. And he's looking for ways to try and pull us away from God. You know, the devil knows that as we're following God, we're a real threat to him. But if we can, he can get us on one little thing. Maybe it's instead of coming to church, you go to the beach on Sunday. And you might think, oh, that's just a little thing. But let me tell you, as you turn away from what God wants you to do, it's a slippery slope. And it can get worse and worse and worse. So we need to make sure that we don't fall for the traps. And over here, I've got a couple of traps here. And one of them is a rat trap. Look at that big rat trap. And in that trap, it's got $50. Who would like $50? Go and see Pastor David later. So this is a rat trap, and we've never caught a rat. We tried to catch. We had a rat one time. It was a stinking rat, and ended up dying, which made it even worse. But we set traps because we wanted to kill it. It would hurt, wouldn't you, if that got... And, you know, the devil wants to set a trap for you. And he knows what would pull you up. So he's looking for little weaknesses that you might have, and it might be money. Maybe it's more important to have money than to do what's right. Maybe it's more important to work on Sundays. Well, of course, some of you have to work on Sundays, and I understand that. But some people just work. I used to be a workaholic. I mean, I would work every weekend just to have money. And then I didn't know what to do with it anyway, but I had all this money. And so money can be a trap. And with kids, I know sometimes kids will steal from the parents even just to have money. So there's traps that the devil wants to set in front of you. And there's big traps and there's little traps. These are the latest in mouse traps. These are really good and they work really well. See, like that? And if you stick your finger in there, would you like to try, Pastor Rochelle? See, it goes off really, really well. But he has little traps. Big traps and little traps. Little traps could be just playing with computer games. Because, you know, some computer games are really good. But some computer games have little bits of rubbish in it. And you might think, oh, it's only a little bit. But then as you start watching it, and as you have a little bit more rubbish, a little bit more rubbish, a little bit more rubbish, if you have rubbish coming in, you're going to have rubbish coming out.
Yeah.
Isn't that true, Susan? So we have to be careful because the devil wants to try and pull you away from God. But God is faithful. And the Bible says here, with every temptation, he will make a way for you to escape.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't have to fall for the traps. Because Jesus is alive and he's there to help you. And all you've got to do is call out, Jesus, help me.
Yeah.
And as you call out, let me tell you, he's there right alongside. He will step in and he will help you. And he wants to do it for you because he loves you so much. He doesn't want you to fall for the traps. There's so many things the devil will try to pull us up. In this world today, it's awful, isn't it? Especially for our young people. But you know, God is faithful. He knows about all those temptations, but he's there to help you. So don't fall for the traps. Ollie, look at this one. You want to stick your finger in there? That would be terrible, wouldn't it? I think that would hurt. So we're up to what letter are we up to now? The last letter is the letter...
R.
Ah, who knows? Okay, let's see what... Last letter, letter R. Can anybody work this out except you've been here this morning so you can't?
Receive.
Who said that? Well done. Oh, up the back. up the back. Up the back are really smart. You shouldn't be sitting up the back. That's for backsliders. No, it's not. Okay, it's received. Received. Well done. Received. That was a really hard one, wasn't it? I think you should get 2 chocolates for that. No, make it 1. That's okay. Received. Now, who's going to read this scripture out, Mrs. Mills?
Susan.
Susan again.
Yeah.
Which school do you go to, Susan?
Chalice.
Which one?
Chalice.
It's Chalice. What a good school, because you're really good at reading.
John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God.
Okay, so that in that verse there, thank you, you can give that back to Mrs. Mills. Let's give her a big clap. It says, as many as received him. Received who? Who do you think that's talking about? Who do you think that's talking about, Susan? That's it, Jesus. To as many as received him. Now, how do we receive somebody? If I come to your door at your house and I was to knock on the door and you were to look and say, oh, Mr. Mills is here. If you want me to come in, you would have to open the door because there's a lock, isn't there? And if you notice, the lock's on the inside, not on the outside, it's on the inside. And you know, Jesus wants to come into your life, but we have to open the door. We have to say, Jesus, I receive you. Come into my life. I want you to take control of my life. Not just for Sundays. Not just every time you feel like it. But Jesus wants to be the Lord of your life. We need to receive him. And when we receive him, you know what happens? We become children of God. Are you a child of God?
Yes.
Have you received Jesus? Have you opened up your heart and said, Jesus, I know I've messed up. I've done wrong. I've sinned. Jesus, I'm sorry for what I've done. Repent. We need to repent and say, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to follow you. And you know, when you do that and ask Jesus to come in, he takes all your sin away. Isn't that wonderful? No matter what your past is, that doesn't matter. It's a future that can start again clean. And he wants to make your heart clean. He's got a wonderful plan. You know, God's got plans to bless you. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full or abundant life. And that abundant life is for you. I don't know what it is, but Jesus has got a plan for you. But the first step is to receive him, to become his child, to open up your heart and say, Jesus, come in. Maybe today you might want to do that. Maybe you've never done it before, but today you're saying, yes, I know on this good Sunday, Easter Sunday, I need Jesus in my life. I know I'm going in the wrong direction. I need Jesus to save me. I want to know that I'm going to spend eternity in heaven with God. I want you all to close your eyes. Let me ask you a question. Have you received Jesus? I wish somebody asked me that when I was younger. It took until I was 24 and I realised I made a mess of my life. But that day when I opened up my life and received Jesus, he changed everything. And he wants to turn your life around. He wants to change everything in your life. He wants to give you that gift of eternal life. He loves you so much. But you have to take that rope. He's reaching out to you today. And you have to open up and say, Jesus, yes, me. Save me. Take away my sins. If you'd like to do that today, and you've never done it before, while everyone's got their eyes closed, you can just put your hand up and put it down again. And Jesus sees your hands and he will save you. He will take away your sin and make you a new person. Anybody here today? Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. He sees your hand up the back there. He loves you so much. Don't leave this church today and say, I should have done it. This is your opportunity. Take hold of that rope. Take hold of Jesus. Anybody else, would you like to put your hand up? Jesus will see that hand. He will save you today. So let's all pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the wrong things I've done. I know I've messed up. I believe you died on the cross to take the punishment for me. I believe that you rose again from the dead, that you are alive today. So right now, I open up my heart and I ask you to come in. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Take control of my life. I want to do things your way from now on. I now know I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've got a gift here. It's a big egg, and it's a special one. And I would like to give this to somebody. Who would like this? Charlotte, would you like this? Charlotte, would you like it? It's for you. It's a gift. So has Shola have to work for it? Did she have to work for it?
No.
No. What does she have to do? She has to take it, doesn't she? Do you want it, Shola? It's for you. Do you want it? She said thank you, but she hasn't taken it. You don't want it, Shola? You want it? Okay, you can go and sit down. So that. The gift of God is for everybody, but we have to receive it. For that lady who put the hand up today, Jesus sees your hand.
Yes.
And let me tell you, you've received that gift.
Yes.